Government Accountability and Information Technology to order for Tuesday, May 22nd, 2007. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 753A. Why don't you give us a little...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, Senate Bill 753A, we heard this 2 weeks ago today on May 8th. This measure requires public bodies to cooperate with and promptly provide information to ombudsmen established by law or designated by the governor. It requires people contracting with a public body to cooperate with and promptly provide that information to ombudsmen investigating matters related to conduct. It requires agencies or officers of executive departments to consult with the Attorney General regarding legal disputes related to ombudsman requests for information, and it provides for confidentiality of information provided to the ombudsman and the option to decline the request for inspection of public records. Subsequent to that hearing, the committee has before it two sets of amendments. The dash A3 amendments expand the requirement to cooperate with ombudsman to include ombudsman both established by law and those specifically authorized by law, and it also clarifies language regarding the confidentiality to refer to communications relevant to the duties of the ombudsman except those made by officers, employees, or agents of public bodies. Those are the dash 3 amendments. The dash A5 amendments delete that subsection 3, which that's deleting the confidentiality language entirely.
Thank you. And we are in work session. Representative Girard.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash 3 amendments.
Representative Girard moves that we adopt the dash 3 amendments. Any discussion? Any objection? Dash 3s are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 753 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Girard moves that the Senate Bill 753A as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Call roll.
Representative Byers? Aye. Excused.
Senate Bill 753A, having received the required majority, is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I'll carry the bill. Okay, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 753A, and I'm going to open a public hearing on SJR 19. Tell us about that, Patrick.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Joint Resolution 19 declares its state policy to promote and facilitate activities, projects, and businesses that improve Oregon's Internet Protocol network infrastructure, performance, and connectivity. This measure moved through the Senate with a vote of indeterminate number because your staff, Mr. Chair, has not brought that information with him.
Okay. I'm going to bring two people up as a panel, Ed Parker and Michael Weidman. And you can choose who goes first and introduce yourself and go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Riley, members of the committee. My name is Ed Parker, and I'm a telecommunications consultant who lives in Glen Eden Beach, Oregon, a member of the Oregon Telecommunications Coordinating Council, on whose behalf this Senate joint resolution was introduced. And I was told, but don't know officially, that the Senate passed it unanimously. But that's informal, unofficial. And as you all know, a resolution serves as a general policy statement and can offer encouragement, support, and guidance for desired behavior in both public and private sectors of our state. The ORTCC prefers to recommend a resolution instead of a bill whenever possible, because a resolution can have greater positive effect than sometimes than a more narrow and specific legislative mandate. In fact, this concept came out of the Legislative Council's office as a bill, and we asked that it be sent back to be redrafted as a resolution. As noted in the whereas statements leading up to the resolution, Oregon has a history of being proactive in telecommunications policy, and we've had a positive influence on telecommunications infrastructure, specifically broadband telecommunications. Wanted to give one example of a prior resolution that was recommended by ORTCC. That was a telemedicine reimbursement resolution passed in a previous legislative session. Oregonians now benefit from reimbursement of clinical health care services delivered using telecommunications, in other words, telemedicine. That resolution encouraged health insurers to reimburse clinicians for medical services delivered that way. As a result, both the Oregon Health Plan and major commercial insurers, including Blue Cross, changed their policies voluntarily to include coverage for such services. A legislative mandate would have begun a more cumbersome process of writing administrative rules and probably would have resulted in resistance and delay rather than voluntary compliance. We think that this resolution has great value for the same reason. We wish to encourage both governmental and private sector entities in Oregon to improve the quality of their internet protocol networks and to interconnect internet networks in Oregon instead of sending Oregon internet traffic out of state to be connected elsewhere before coming back into an Oregon destination. We wish to encourage both public and private sector entities to host their web pages at data centers located in Oregon. As some of you may know, Oregon.gov is now hosted on a website in Plano, Texas. These actions will improve the quality of internet service in Oregon and make Oregon a more attractive location for internet-related businesses. Regulation and legislative mandates are unlikely to be the best way to recruit new internet businesses to Oregon. Providing a general policy statement encouraging compliance is more likely to achieve the economic development goal that is the motivation for this resolution. We submit that internet protocol or IP networks and technologies are emerging as an infrastructure necessary for commerce and communication and necessary to establish and maintain Oregon's global competitiveness. We believe that this resolution will lead to voluntary changes that will make Oregon a more attractive location for software development businesses and other internet-dependent businesses that can contribute significantly to the economic development of our state. We want to continue to improve network performance and service quality for Oregonians. We want to improve Oregon's connections to the internet, and we want to recruit and grow internet businesses in our state. And we want those actions and benefits to be enjoyed statewide. The internet is critical to Oregon's economy. SJR 19 doesn't require anything of anyone. It has no funding associated with it, but it can be of great value to provide guidance and support for decisions and actions that can have long-term benefits for the state. The Oregon Telecommunications Coordinating Council requests that you send this resolution to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you for your consideration. I'd be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you. Senator Nelson, did you want to? Yeah, why don't you come on up and we'll take your testimony next. Thank you for coming. And
thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Nelson, State Senator from District 29, the northeast part of Oregon, and I'm just here. These folks know what they're talking about, but I just wanted to come in and inform the committee that. The Oregon Telecommunications Coordinating Council is the eyes and ears of the legislature, statutorily approved. And they come up with a lot of good advice. They're unpaid volunteers. They do a lot of work. They're very knowledgeable. They don't, they're not beholden to any special interest group. They're just trying to look out for the best interests of the state of Oregon. I think they're statutorily approved until through the next session.
Yes.
And so I'm just trying to inform the committee that probably in 2011 or something like that, they will be back asking for more statutory authority. But these folks, you know, they're unpaid volunteers. They're very smart. They're looking out for the best interests of the state of Oregon. I just want to put that on record so that we can continue to get some institutional knowledge in this body so that we can move forward.
Thank you. Yeah. We always like to have certified smart people representing us.
I know better to talk about bills when these guys are here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Nelson.
Chairman Riley and members of the committee, thank you very much for offering us the opportunity to sit and speak with you today. I don't want to be completely redundant of Dr. Parker's words, so I'll probably try to take a little bit more from a propeller head perspective. I'm Michael Wyman, the President and CEO of Lightspeed Networks and also a member of the Oregon Telecommunications Coordinating Council. I'm an industry representative on the infrastructure committee, which means that, you know, I kind of look at the touchy-feely parts of the networks and how the state, you know, works together, you know, for the collective benefit of economic development, infrastructure development, and how the commercial and private entities can fit into that, you know, in the partnerships with the public entities. You know, and one of the things that Dr. Parker has so eloquently stated is there's not a lot of synergy right now with the internetworks of the state. You know, IP is kind of used generically when we think about, you know, blogs and vlogs and surfing the net and shopping online and stuff like that. But it's a lot more than that. It's actually a global-based protocol for the transmission of data packets. Now, why is that important? When you start getting into the time-sensitive applications like telemedicine, telehealth, video conferences, voice-over protocols, you need something that's going to work effectively and efficiently. So you need to think about the virtual distance between the source, you know, of where the content is and where the recipient of that stuff is. You know, and I call it virtual distance because it can be measured in all kinds of technical terms, latency and jitter and packet loss and all this other stuff, but it has a lot to do with the router hops and the virtual interconnectivity between these locations. So from an economic development perspective, we want to bring as much source and content into the state. Okay, but then we also want to make sure that the networks are connected effectively together. If you were going from Eugene to Hermiston, you probably wouldn't want to go to Seattle and then down to Texas and then to San Francisco to back up. You know, so by interconnecting the networks within the state and encouraging a peering mesh, is what we call it, where we're actually moving those packets within the state, you get a lot more benefit and a lot more of an e-commerce development activity, as well as the efficiency that the healthcare providers need. So, you know, you've got an executive summary in front of you, but I want to thank you both from an industry perspective as a member of ORTCC and for Lightspeed Networks. I request your support with a due pass resolution. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Oh, yeah, I guess I do.
Yes, Representative Thatcher.
I just am looking at the letter that you had submitted, and the last, third from the bottom paragraph, I believe that this resolution would offer the encouragement necessary to positively influence the state agencies and private businesses to improve the infrastructure required. I have a private business, and I'm wondering what you're asking me to do here. I guess I'm just wondering how this applies to, you know, businesses in Oregon, or is it only to telecommunications-type businesses? I'm just trying to picture what's being asked here.
Not at all. Any business owner really can benefit. Let's say that your private business has a website, and, you know, maybe it's hosting an application like open source down at OSU or something like that, where people are downloading your content on a regular basis. You know, if your network is peered with another content provider, then the request and the packets are switched within the state and they come back. So let's say you're hosting a payroll application. You know, if these packets go all over the place and some get lost, you could lose the secure socket layer connection that you might have with the source content. So mostly we would like you as a business owner to influence your upstream providers to connect so the things can be efficiently routed within the state so your time sensitive applications can work as you would expect them to.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Thank you.
Well, before we vote on this, I'm going to declare a conflict, a potential conflict. I did recruit a internet hosting business from Arizona to Oregon, and it's now residing in my garage. So so I just want to declare that conflict.
You're already doing exactly what we're asking people to do throughout the state.
Yes.
Thank you.
So with that, is there any... Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to testify on this? I'm going to close the public hearing on SJR 19, and I'm going to open a work session on SJR 19.
Mr. Chair, I move SJR 19 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and since you understand the bill, you can carry it.
So, Representative Girard moves that Senate Joint Resolution 19 to the floor to do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Call roll.
Aye.
Excused.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And I'm actually not going to carry the bill. I'm going to ask one of the sponsors. I'm going to ask Representative Dahlem to carry this bill. Any further? Well, before I do that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Joint Resolution 19. And any other business? Oh, yes, we have an informational hearing. So I'm going to open the informational hearing. And I'm going to ask Scott Chowers to come. Almost forgot you.
It's kind of hard to do. I'm a fairly visible person.
Yeah. That leather jacket shines.
So. Thank you, sir. Representative Riley, committee members, my name is Scott Showers. I work with the Office of the State Fire Marshal. And I'd like to start things off by introducing Deputy Chief Paul Lesage from Tualatin Valley Fire, who would like to give testimony on the importance of this program, and some he's been involved in our committees, so he can give some of the history of what we've done. So I'd like to turn it over to him to start with.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paul Lesage. I'm the Assistant Chief of Operations at Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue and a board member for the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association. And we've been working for quite some time with the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office to try to develop a web-based reporting system that can consolidate information that we obtain from incidents throughout the state, from small agencies and large, that we can use effectively for programs. The Oregon Response Reporting System is a critical tool that's used by Oregon's fire service. Fire departments across the state make decisions related to the deployment of firefighters, equipment, and stations based on the data collected during post-incident reporting. These fire departments, your fire departments, develop standards of cover for community emergency response. The standards of cover contain a risk analysis, and the risk analysis tells the fire departments the performance goals that they need to attain for every type of emergency that they could conceivably respond to in a community. Based on this analysis, major infrastructure and staffing decisions, such as building fire stations and staffing them with firefighters, that cost local governments millions of dollars in annual expenditures, are made on a regular basis. These decisions need to be both timely and accurate, and they require a solid, accurate, and easily accessed database. In addition, the current system that's in place does not allow for comparative analysis between similar-sized and demographic communities in the state of Oregon, and it adversely affects our efforts to aggregate important information from departments across the state that can be used to develop vital fire prevention and public education programs. It's vitally important that we have a statewide system that's accurate, easy to use, and accessible for all departments, large and small. The proposed web-based reporting system will significantly reduce the errors that are currently attributed to data conversion from multiple different patchwork of programs throughout the state, and it will allow agencies throughout Oregon the ability to withdraw accurate statistical data that's needed to make community-based decisions regarding how to spend their tax dollars collected for fire suppression, fire prevention, and public education. A single streamlined web-based reporting system will also eliminate the need for local agencies to develop their own patchwork data collection systems, support those systems, and will enhance our ability to compete for available grant money at the federal level. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you today and express my support and that of the Oregon Fire Chiefs Association for POP number 311, which will allow us to continue our efforts to build an accurate web-based statewide incident reporting system. Be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Before we ask questions, committee, I want to explain a little bit about why we're hearing this. And that is this upgrade was reviewed and approved by DAS and approved for $450,000. By some error, it was put into the budget at $150,000 in Ways and Means. And these folks are here today to let us have a review of this ourselves and to decide if we think it's worthwhile, and if we do, then to recommend to Ways and Means that they adjust the budget. And that's their purpose here today. Did I state that pretty well?
You stated that excellent. That's actually what I was going to do next for the committee.
Okay.
You did. That's pretty much it. There was basically what this boils down to is there was a clerical error during our budgeting process, and we were just not able to get in front of the process to correct it.
So, with that, questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Thatcher.
Called the Oregon Response Reporting System. So am I correct in assuming that you would be compiling data on all, incidents that are responded to by firefighters? Is that pretty correct?
Currently we have three separate programs that we use for incident reporting. We have OERS, which is Oregon's All Incident Reporting System, which its primary focus is on fire incidents, whether it be a car fire, house fire, something that the fire departments respond to. We have the Juvenile Fire Center Intervention Program, which is a program that was developed off of that, which focuses on helping to determine if it was a juvenile that caused it, and then getting them the right programs to assist with their rehabilitation, I guess would be the best word. And then we also have the hazardous incident response, which is the program that we use for responding to all the hazmat incidents around the state. And currently the fire service, they have to fill out all three of those somewhat separately. They're not intertwined. So a lot of times the data is the same because one incident may encompass all three. So they're having to fill out something three different times. So part of this program is to put them all together into one program, have it be streamlined so that they're filling out one incident and it populates the other information required if it goes to multiple areas. So
further question?
If you don't mind. Thank you. And so I'm picturing everybody's kind of feeding into the system from all over the state. And let's say, just name a town in Eastern Oregon wants, they would use this to figure out how they would budget for that part, fire services.
Right.
Okay. based on statistical things that are figured out for you in this little system, or is this something they would just use the data and figure it out themselves?
Well, I think I can hopefully answer that. First of all, most of the fire departments themselves, some use the state's existing system. The state has provided an existing system that some fire departments use. Many of us, such large departments like my own, we ran 32,000 calls last year, have our own system, as does the city of Portland. We're required to send that information to the state. They then have to aggregate it and put it into their system for use. It's an antiquated one. So if you're in eastern Oregon and you have a small city and you want to compare your data to another similarly demographic city in Oregon so you can determine if how you're spending your tax money and deployment money is correct, you're unable to do that right now. You probably might be using a paper-based reporting system and sending your information to the state. You might be using theirs. You might be using another one. So there is no way also for you to easily extract the information from the state database to use for your budgeting. You could use the information from your own city, but you couldn't, say, grab four or five comparative cities throughout the state and then go to your authority having jurisdiction, your board of directors, your elected officials, and say, we are spending our money wisely based on how other cities are similar size are using it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
And if I may, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is going to not only combine the input for three or four different systems, it's also going to allow for one-time only input. Currently, some fire departments input into their own system and then has to be re-input into the state system. The ones who have their own system, if they transmit data, they aren't all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so the data, they have to have a conversion program for each different system that comes in. So this is going to do away with a lot of old programs. Mm-hmm. That do convert data conversion to get things into the state format, and in addition, reduce the amount of data entry. So, did I say that
yes,
right?
Yes, you did.
So, any other questions? So, what is it exactly that you would like us to do?
Well, I would hope that with the information that we provided to you, and I also have. If you would like, I do have copies of the signed information resource request from the state's CIO. I would request that this committee give a recommendation that the budget be fulfilled, the budget request of $450,000 be fulfilled, and put that back to Ways and Means so that we can move forward with this project. Currently, I have on hold the procurement officer from the Department of Administrative Services and an attorney from the Department of Justice as we were moving forward with getting an RFP put out.
Correct.
So I would like to continue moving forward with this project.
So, committee, I guess what I would like is some indication from the committee if the committee would like to do that. And
I'm good.
So, if you would, I would entertain a motion to create that correspondence.
Well, you need a bill, or what do you want?
No, just
a bill drafted. Or?
No, just a motion that we correspond, that we recommend to Ways and Means that this be done.
If I can.
Yes, Patrick.
I think it's if. I think if the committee if the recommendation is going to come from the committee, it probably is good that the committee weigh in rather than to basically direct staff to draft and the chair to sign a letter.
Right.
It would be kind of an affirmative action by the committee to do that.
So we need an additional $300,000.
Right.
Got a question.
Let me try this thing. Mr. Chair, I move that we make a recommendation to Ways and Means to increase the web-based incident reporting for fire services by $300,000.
Second.
So Representative Girard has moved that we recommend the increase of $300,000 to Ways and Means for this project discussion.
Thank you, and it has to do with the amount. Is this a one-time?
Yes.
Just to get this up and going and built.
Yes, this is a one-time fee for this project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been vetted through the DAS.
The CIO signed off on it. It was really a clerical mistake that it went in as 150 instead of 450. And now that they're past that, they need a policy committee to say, yeah, we've listened and we think it's okay.
Mr. Chair, just a point of clarification then.
Yes.
Does that mean that the OHP budget was that it was a clerical mistake on the $7 million?
I don't know the answer to that. I do not know the answer.
Just check.
So... if there's no objection,
I'm good with it.
Then we're going to, I'm going to gavel that. We're going to recommend to Ways and Means that they restore this to $450,000. Patrick, will you get a letter drafted for that for my signature? Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
With that, I'm going to close this informational hearing, and I'm going to close the committee for today. Thank you.